What's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Thank you for coming on. You know, when I was thinking about doing this podcast, you were the first guy that I thought of. So, are you ready to go?
Yeah, definitely. Ready when you are, bro.
All right. Hey, guys. Welcome to Positivity Made Easy with my good friend, Josh. What's up, Josh?
Not a whole lot, just chilling and killing time. You know how it goes, brother?
Oh, of course, yeah. So, listen, I decided to make a brand new podcast because if you look at the world today, it's filled with so much negativity, and I really wanted to bring positivity to people because if you look especially on social media and it's filled with negativity and people saying negative stuff. So I thought it would be a good idea just to bring positive vibes to people and talk about things that make people happy and maybe, you know, give them advice if they're having trouble with something or stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely, dude. And, you know, I think honestly, you know, we could all use a little bit of happiness here and there. You know, sometimes a little bit too much happiness gets to our head and we think every day is going to be a positive day.
Absolutely.
You know.
I think sometimes people, you know, don't realize how lucky they are to have what they have and be in a position where they are, because, you know, some people have it easier than others. Some people have it more difficult than others, and some people don't realize what they have in front of them, and I think that's really important too. So
I mean, you know, like I'm always one to tell people, you know, today may be really easy, but who's to say tomorrow does not bring a challenge that either A, that we've been through, or B, it might be something entirely new that we all have to face at some point in time.
No, I completely agree with that. Absolutely. So when you think of positivity, what makes your life positive? What do you do in your life to stay positive? Or what are some things, if you're not having a good day, that bring you that positivity?
For me, honestly, I try to write down how I feel about my emotions, and whether it's like a big long paragraph or I just write little thoughts that pop in my head, you know, or I keep a journal log basically saying, you know, today was a good day. These are the steps that I took that made today great. Now, whether it come into play the following day or the following year, so on and so forth, that has yet to be seen. Right. None of us are hindsight 2020, where we can see the mile-long radius of what the year is supposed to look like. Because as we all know, as human beings, anything and everything can happen. You know, anything that will go wrong can go wrong. You know, and so right. What I do basically is, as a rapper, I basically try to incorporate it into my music, whether
right. It's
something that has happened long ago, something I've seen, something that I may have felt before, like when I lost my uncle at a young, tender age of probably 5 or 6, I was very close to this person, you know, and when it hit me, it wasn't until I was like 16, 17 years old till it hit me. And I was like, well, this really sucks, but at least I've had the audacity to write down how I feel. I was able to talk to people who were a positive influence, you know.
Right.
The saying goes, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's going to be sane and perfect and everything like in sync with you all the time. It's okay to agree to disagree or agree to agree. And sometimes you got to disagree to disagree. But that should not enter. Go ahead.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. I mean, you know, it's funny, but I have to use this analogy. I find it funny when I see couples that agree on absolutely everything, because it's just not realistic to me.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely not realistic because I think, you know, it goes far back as human relationships, really. Anybody who says, you know, oh, I love my partner, I love my friends, we always agree, we never fight. Well, you can't really say that you've never fought with somebody, because if you look at the word fighting, it's an adjective for one thing. You're describing an argument or disagreement. Now, some people might look at that and say, oh, we never get physical, we never verbalize how we feel. I mean, it's an imperfect society that we live in. You know, if I just said to somebody earlier today that if we lived in a society all around the world, 365, 24/7, you know, basically to that extent, and we all lived in this little perfect bubble, the one slight problem that arises, we would all be chaotic.
Oh, yeah.
Because none of us would have to, none of us would have anything to fall back on and say, well, I did experience this one time. No, we would not have any of that. It's like a discrepancy in society. When something goes wrong, it's our job to learn from that mistake and move forward. Now, I'm not saying it's not okay to take a step back and see where the other person might be seeing this as correct. You know, I mean, I'm not here to talk politically, but the saying goes, one man's patriot is another man's terrorist. One man's terrorist is another man's patriot.
No, I agree with that. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I decided to make this podcast, is because, you know, I look at a lot of what I see on especially social media, and it's always so negative. Oh, you know, this happened to me or that happened to me. And I'm guilty of it too sometimes. But at the same time, most of the stuff that I post on social media has to do with how I'm feeling. So I'm not looking at it as woe is me. I'm looking at it as, hey, this is a way for me to get my feelings out. And
right.
I think a lot of people misinterpret things on Facebook sometimes as people complaining. When I talk about something, for example, like my vertigo, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just simply saying, wow, this sucks. I wish there was something I could do about it. And that's just me voicing how I feel, you know?
Right. You know, and I think, honestly, and I'm agreeing with that completely. You know, I think, you know, as much as social media has really uplifted boundaries that were never thought to be crossed before, I think that it's honestly a great outlet for people to communicate from around the world, get to know people. It's a great communication tool to us, the human race, as an advantage, but there are a lot of flaws with it. With some of the flaws being that, you know, you have people who cyberbully, you have people who try to slander one another. I mean, I get a lot of posts. I follow NPR National Public Radio on my Facebook. And so whenever I get online, I always have that first thing on my list of my timeline and whatnot. And if it's something to this sort of, this politician disagreed with this one, you read through the thousands of comments, you see people saying, oh, you're dumb if you think this is accurate, or this is fake news, or no, this is really happening. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's terrible that you're denying someone the facts here, but I'm also not going to sit here and say it's bad for a person to pitch how they feel against it or for it. I think, you know, being that we live in a country, the United States of America, one of our amendments is freedom of speech. Now, everybody thinks you can say whatever you want. It doesn't just cover how you say something, what you say. It covers freedom of expression of your mood, how you feel about the political system. It covers a vast amount of things. Now, there's a fine line difference with some people, and I'll probably get a lot of flack for this, but I think there's a fine line difference between agreeing to disagree with these people and leaving it at that versus slandering, throwing the R word in the midst, throwing the F bomb in the midst. It's like, it's not really necessary. Now, I'm guilty of it because I do say the F-bomb a lot. I do say a lot of not so nice words when I'm mad at someone, but it's to the extent that maybe the person isn't cussing at you because they're upset with you. It's maybe that they're annoyed with the fact that you're not accepting the fact that there is a problem. And part of anything, or actually the whole thing about problems, is knowing there is one.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's the point of this podcast. When I talk about positivity made easy, it kind of goes back to what you were just saying. You know, who am I to tell somebody that they can't feel a certain way? Like, if you feel differently about a topic than I do, I'm not going to judge you because of that. You can feel however you want, but I might give you my opinion, and, you know, if you agree with it, great. If you don't agree with it, great. And that's the problem with society, kind of like what you said. More and more people, if they put something out there, if they put their opinions out there, and all of us don't agree with those opinions, we become the bad people. And that's where the negativity comes into play. And that's why when I do this podcast with you, I want to focus on a topic each time we record and talk about that, because there are so many things that we could talk about that incorporate positivity into everyday life. And I think that's so important, because I think it's slowly gotten lost as people, you know, I don't know.
As time goes on, basically. I mean, the way I look at positivity is, and I'm not saying everybody has to look at this, because this is my mindset of it. I look at life as a giant, giant tunnel, okay? And every step of the way that you take, you're one step closer to the end of that tunnel that provides the ultra bright light, say, and that ultra bright light being, I've lived life, I've had a family, I've had whatever I've gone through, I got through it. You know, because half of anything in this life is knowing how to cope with it. Now, coming from...
And it's funny to say that, because that's exactly why I made this podcast as well, because I want us to be able to give people advice on how to cope with things. I mean, obviously, right. I don't have a PhD in psychiatry. I'm not Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
I will give you advice on how to cope with problems. I mean, I've dealt with drug addiction. You know, I've dealt with depression. I've dealt with all kinds of stuff. And, you know, so I can definitely give people advice when it comes to getting through problems. And, you know, it sounds so simplistic, but I wish people would find some sort of positivity in every day that they live.
Well, you know, I think the saying that I've always said, probably since the fifth grade, and mind you, it's not always worked for myself, but I think, you know, for listeners and everything like that, whether you're near, far, it doesn't matter how far away or how close you are to somebody, I think the fact of the matter is that positive anything will always outweigh 1,000 negative things. For example, you may ride your bicycle or learn to ride your bicycle at, say, age 4. You probably won't get those training wheels off until 5 or 6. That's okay, though. Or if you're a slow learner, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, it's actually a pretty good thing to be a slow learner, because that way you can learn A, all the dynamics behind it, B, possibly the reason why it's so important to learn this, or anything really, if you're not going to do anything constructive with your life, how do you expect people to understand what you're going through if you don't communicate?
Well, and it's funny you say that because, you know, I do believe in communication. I think that's one of the most important aspects of life. But when you look at social media and you see the same people day after day putting something negative out there on Facebook, that's what kind of gets me, because I realize that people go through things, but one of the things that I don't think people realize is for everything that you're going through, there's somebody out there that's going through something far worse than what you're going through.
Right. You know, and I think, you know, the most important thing is, you know, look at it like this, Jeremy. You look inside the mirror, you may see yourself and you may say to yourself, man, I look really good today, or I may look ugly. But what matters most in those two things is you're not only accomplishing self-advocacy, saying, how can I improve myself? Or maybe I should downgrade myself to fit on a level that most people can obtain to. But the most important thing you're doing at that point in time, now, whether you say I'm looking good or I'm looking bad today, is you're doing the most crucial step in anything, and that's self-reflection.
No, I completely agree with that. And again, that's partially why I wanted to do this, is because I want to give people an outlet to say, hey, this is what I'm going through. How can you give me advice to get through this? And
right.
Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of things going on in their life. But the thing is that they're afraid to come out and say what they're going through because they're probably ashamed of whatever it is that they're going through, because people don't like to admit when they're having a hard time. Nobody does. It's just not.
Right. You know, and I think, you know, or it could be possibly not even a matter of how do I explain it? It's a matter of will I be judged for explaining it? I mean, the way I look at it, and I'm not a Christian, I'm not Jewish, I'm non-affiliated by all means, but nonetheless, I know enough in my life to accept the fact that if you do something wrong in your life, you have three things you can do. One, you can take ownership of your negative action and how it may have affected or impacted others. Two, you can always say, you know, I'm not going to take ownership. And then you let other people decide their own basis and judgment upon you. But you should look at it outside of the box. If you say something negative to someone, you cannot expect them not to feel something, whether it's anger, hate, spite, or just laugh it off. Sometimes, honestly, and this is from a mental health standpoint, sometimes people laugh things off right at that minute because they're too scared to say you're wrong or you're right. You know, they laugh it off because it's easier to laugh the pain away than it would be to say, you know what, I think you're fine. Because I think sometimes people just really don't know how to self-advocate and say, I disagree. Now, I'm not saying that should resort to fists being thrown or somebody getting killed over. I mean, I'm a rapper, and the history of rap is tremendous. We've had a lot of good musicians like Tupac, Biggie, Eazy-E, so on and so forth. We've had a lot of those great people. But look how many people have crossed that line of boundary of saying, I'm better than you at this, and you'll never get up on my level. And then next thing you know, they're killed because of a fact that they said something that somebody did not agree with, nor did they like. And that's really saddening to me as someone who's been around that life. I mean, I grew up in cities that were really, really bad. And I knew a lot of good friends that 1 minute would jokingly say to someone, "Hey, where'd you get your pants? The Salvation Army, you're broke as hell." And then next thing you know, that person who made fun of them honestly gets beat up. And it's like, right. For what reason are you beating them up? Right. I get that you're angry. I get that you're mad. But you have to realize here that there's a big, 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 tremendous animosity between the people who have stuff versus those who don't.
Yep. No, I agree with you, man. It's interesting that you say that there's a level of I'm better than you in the rap game, because there definitely is. And I think it goes even beyond the rap game. You could look at it in sports. You could look at it in acting. You could look at it.
I'm just projecting probably 0.1% of that. But I mean, like, for example, I know you and I both love soccer. My team happens to be Liverpool. If your team was Manchester United, yes, you guys have more Premier League championship games and championships won. But at the end of the day, it comes down to where someone sees the sentimental value in something. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong for somebody to like a team because they win all the time, or they want to root for this team because they're truly labeled as the underdog and everything. Now, I mean, look at the 2004 Boston Red Sox. They faced off against the Cardinals. It was the first time, and I think it was like 97 years that the Boston Red Sox. What?
That was a hell of a series, too.
Yeah, it was so nail-biting. I mean, both fans were really torn. And at the end of the day, it was like, you know what? St. Louis lost 3-4. But you know what? There's a winner on both sides, because you still are happy that maybe your Boston Red Sox beat the Cardinals. You were super happy about that. But look at the St. Louis Cardinal fans and say, hey, I'm just happy that my team made it this far. Well, there's always next year.
And you know,
God forbid, they win the next 5 World Series. You never know. You never know.
And you know what? Here's the thing. It's funny you bring it to a baseball analogy, because my favorite team up until 2016 did not win a World Series for 108 years.
Who is your team, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
For baseball, the Cubs.
Ah, dude, nothing wrong with that, man. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Yankees. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with... Hell, you could even like Tampa Bay Rays, and I'd still be happy for you, you know? I mean, it just comes down to, like, people will pick and choose what they feel is best for them. It's just like food. Some people love spaghetti with Parmesan cheese. Some people like it with tomato sauce only. But at the end of the day, are you going to be upset with somebody because they used Prego tomato sauce over Ragu, or are you mad that it has too much of a garlic flavor? Just be thankful that you got
absolutely
what you got.
There's people out there that don't even get to eat. So,
right. You know, and I think, you know, with the fact that, and I'm not being biased when I say this, I think this is a true fact. America wastes 25% more food than it consumes. And you have other countries such as Sweden, France, Italy, Germany, who, yes, do create a lot of good food. But with the food that they don't use, they give to those who are in need.
Right.
Now, I think, you know, if America got up on that bandwagon, you would not only be able to feed more homeless people, you would be able to feed people who are a very low income base. I mean, look at it like this. When I was a kid, I had friends who grew up all the way across town in the dirtiest, grungiest neighborhoods ever that were crime infested. Now, am I one to ever say, well, I can't be your friend because you have a lower income than me? No, I'm never going to be one to say that to people. But at the same time, it makes you feel like sympathetic for those people. It makes you feel bad, like maybe the mom is a quadriplegic and the dad is up in prison. It makes you feel bad that that responsibility of what one parent should provide is now trickling down to the oldest sibling, who may be only 5 or 6, and having to fend for his or her younger sibling.
And, you know, I could really relate to that, because, you know, I look at the dating world, right? And the dating world is really tough, especially for, it's tough for anybody, but it's especially tough for me, because, you know, I could talk to girls and they could say, "You have the greatest personality in the world, but I can't date you because of your situation." And, you know,
right.
I look at that two ways. I could either look at that as, well, you're just shallow, or I could look at it as, you know what, that's okay, because you're you. You know what you want in your life, and I'm not it. And, you know, I think that's the point of finding something positive out of every situation that arises, because, you know, if you look at the negative aspects of life more than you look at the positive aspects, you're not really going to thrive in life, because you're going to be so down about things that you don't give yourself the opportunity to experience what life really has to offer. So let me ask you this. When we talk about bringing positivity to people, what kind of topics? Because, mind you, this is just an introductory to the channel, but what kind of topics would you like to talk about?
I think, you know, I mean, the three topics I'm first and foremost going to be against, if you don't mind me saying those first at all, you know, just topics, you know, because everybody has their boundaries and whatnot. I think, honestly, number one would be, like, avoid politics, because that always stirs the pot of people saying, "Oh, you're wrong about this, or you're right about that." You know, I think topic that, you know, I'm not going to say you have to be educated enough to talk about. I just think, you know, it's personal to some people. Okay.
No, I don't even think it's a matter of being educated. I just think it's a matter of kind of like what I said before, when I said to you, you know, everybody has their opinion, and unfortunately, when it comes to politics, they take that very seriously. So
I mean, part of my language here for a second, but I will tell you what, when shit hits the fan, boy, does it ever spray everywhere, because...
Oh, yeah.
Because look at it like this. In high school, one person who creates the slightest bit of gossip, right? Say, for example, they say, "Josh did this. Can you believe that?" That one person that they told is now going to have three choices. Again, they'll have the choice of basically saying, "Well, that's none of my business. All right, I'm just going to keep it between me and this person."
Yeah.
Two, they can go ahead and say to themselves, you know what? I'm going to create slander. I'm going to create my own story here. Okay. I'm going to go tell this person, and I want them to tell this person and this person. And then eventually, by the time you get back to that one person that gossip was about, it has been slandered so many millions of times.
Yep.
And it comes back to you, and it's not the original thing that ever happened. And now for you to pinpoint who pinpointed that this story had changed over a duration of time, you can't just pinpoint that one particular person and say, "Why'd you change my story?" Now you have to go to up in each one of those individuals and say, "You changed this, you changed that, you changed this, you changed that." The third thing you can really do is really honestly look at it from a standpoint of hearsay. Well, he said this, he did that. You know what? I'll believe it when I see it.
Right. No, I agree with you. And I also agree that that's one of the topics that we should definitely avoid, because it just brings nothing but trouble. And again, it kind of defeats the whole purpose of what we're trying to do anyway. So,
you know, and I think the third and foremost topic is, you know, change, like you said, is going to be a good thing. Whether someone chooses to accept change as it comes is on them. Okay, so I think, honestly, this should be more of like a informative like thing, saying that you can do something if you put your mind to it, rather than saying, get off my podcast, don't listen to me if you don't feel like change. You know, I think, you know, you should entice the idea that things are good, things will change eventually. Right. You got to put your best foot forward, but there is a time to tell someone that change is good, change is inevitable.
Right.
But you should never slander them to a degree of saying, you know what, you got to change, you got to change. And I think, honestly, unless your life is really down that hill and you're trying to climb back up and you're trying to get back on top of where you once were, then it's not, at that point in time, then I could see it's really necessary to say, these are the steps you can possibly take. This is what I would do. These are just merely suggestions, because half of anything, when you say something to someone, like say you say to an alcoholic one day, you know, I don't like how you're treating me, I think it's time that you call it quits. That's an opinion. Now, one person who is an alcoholic could simply say, well, you don't know anything about my life, and this is why I drink, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But they could also reflect it upon themselves and say, is this where I want to see myself in the next year?
Right.
And not only, I always say to people this, because this is just my mentality. The saying always has been said, do you want to hear what I want to say? Do you want to hear what you want to hear? Or do you want to hear what common logic will dictate as society will look at you as this?
Right.
Now, being that I have served time in probably, I don't know, like I've been in and out of jail most of my life, so I can speak upon that. But at the same time, I am 6.5 years clean off of Percocets, opiates, and painkillers. Okay. It'll be 7 years in March. But it was a big, long, lengthy process. For me to realize that I was doing more harm to my friends and my family and people I cherish. I mean, even strangers on the street would look at me and say, I want nothing to do with you. And it wasn't because they were basing an opinion based upon what someone said. It was maybe because of a fact that the way I was acting toward them.
Well, and it's interesting you bring up the whole battle with a drug addiction, because I went through that too. I went through that with Dilaudid. And, you know, I was quite heavily addicted for 2 years. And so basically, when you're addicted to drugs, you know this better than anybody. You don't care. You don't care about anything other than getting that drug at that point in your life.
Right. And you know, not only do you not care about getting what they call, quote, a fix of your own supply.
Yeah.
You don't even care about your own well-being, basically.
Yeah.
You don't care if you live to see 24 hours from that point. You don't care if you even live to see 5 minutes. You only are fixated on, am I going to get high just to get by? I think DMX, the rapper from Yonkers, New York, said it best. He said in the song Slippin', he says, quote, to survive is to suffer. To suffer is to survive. To survive, that's to find meaning in the suffering. Now, when I was a kid and that song came out, I didn't know what that meant. I just thought it was a really cool quote. But being that he later says in that same song, he says, I hope I live long enough and I am strong enough to see my kids doing something more constructive with their time.
Right.
After I heard that song, when I hit rock bottom, it had a whole new meaning behind it for me. It's actually my alarm clock ringtone to keep me sober, to remind myself that if I do relapse or if I do have to hit rock bottom once again, you know, I think the slope is going to be much more inclined to be not so much more difficult to bounce back, because it's always going to be difficult to bounce back from an addiction or a relapse or hitting rock bottom. But I think it's a bit more easier because you've already been to the top of the mountain and you can do it again, but you got to self-believe. And right. I think that's a wonderful topic for who people really neglect. I think, you know, you see a lot of posts on Facebook and you see that maybe a person is saying, I'm depressed, I need a friend to reach out to. And you see that this person maybe gets 89, 90 likes. And they always say in the comments, hey, I'm here for you. Call me if you need me. But then the smaller person who no one really knows much about, because he or she maybe have never said anything, or they're now just looked at as, oh, you're an attention seeker. It's not so much of an attention seeking behavior. And I'm not saying that some people don't use that ploy just to get what they want, because they do.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not even a matter of who gets who to say, call me if you need me. I think it's more of a matter that you should open up maybe just a percentile, a little bit out of your comfort zone. Fine. I always tell people, Jeremy, I always tell them this. If you can count to 20 things, okay, look at 20 traits you like about each person in your life. Count on your finger. You have 5 fingers, right? You can count those 5 people in your life and then look at one of those fingers and say, I can find 20 honest traits about that person that I love, that they help me with when needed, or they come in handy if something were to arise. Say I get stranded at Walmart. This is a person I can depend upon. Not so much non-independent, but independent to a degree of I know who I can reach out to if I'm stranded, or I know who I can reach out to when I'm feeling depressed and that I need a friend.
Right.
That's what the definition of a friend should always be.
I think one of the things that I want to do is definitely, I want to do a segment, probably our first segment after this introduction is probably going to be setting goals for people, because I think it's so important for people to set goals on what they want to accomplish throughout the course of a day or throughout the
right. You know, like, look at it like this. You could make it as simplistic as possible and you're still setting goals. When we're children, we aspire to be someone. You know, if there's nothing wrong with following in your mom's footsteps, if say she's a interior designer and you're really into it, there's nothing really wrong with following that person's footsteps.
Right.
There's not even something wrong with venturing out on your own and doing something you want to do, you know. But if you look at it like, say you have an hour to clean before you have guests come over, right?
Yep.
And you only have 60 minutes. Part of anything is understanding that these things need to get done. I need to do dishes. I need to vacuum. I need to clean the bathroom. And I need to sweep and mop.
Yep.
Those are the things you need to do within that hour. But it's important, if anything, prioritize which is most important at this moment. Spend 15 minutes, 20 minutes doing it. If you do, say, 20 minutes worth of dishes, you still have 40 minutes. If you spend 15 minutes doing vacuuming, you still have basically 35 minutes, 30 minutes at most, and so on and so forth. Prioritize, and it can't, it doesn't even have to be that. Set a lifetime goal. I mean, on my bucket list, you know, I had 195 things. I have about 10 things left on that list that I want to accomplish. And they were in no particular order, you know, but if you look at it like, okay, so I'm down to my 10 last things, one of which is to become a millionaire. Well, it seems pretty far-fetched, but if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish it. And yeah, not only that, but it comes down to, if say you completed those last 10 remaining things by the time you're 40, there's nothing wrong with going back and saying, let's set 195 more goals for me to achieve.
Oh,
now
no,
that I'm
no, I agree with that. That's something that we'll get into more in the next episode.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because I really want to dive into helping people set up goals to accomplish things, because I think people should always strive to do something more than they did the day before.
Right. You know, I mean, I've said it once in my lifetime, and I'll probably say it a million more times, even probably a trillion if that. But if there's anything certain in this life, is this one certainty that we've always known since the beginning of time. The only certainty that tomorrow brings is the uncertainty of knowing what tomorrow will actually bring.
Yeah. No, you know, I completely agree with that. And, you know, I think that's the way people have to look at life. It's not, life isn't a guarantee, it's a privilege. And that's what people need to understand, is that just because you're here today doesn't mean you're going to be here tomorrow.
Right. You know, and you know, I've said,
I mean, I have to use this as an example because we're both into rap, but I mean, look at the last two rappers that have died in the last year. You know,
yep.
I mean, it's just, and what makes it even worse is these two rappers that died were really, really, really talented. Like, they had their whole life ahead of them, but they made stupid choices, and, you know, well, one of them did, the other one just got shot, and, you know, it's just, I think...
It's horrific. Yeah. It's horrific, you know, and, you know, there's a guy that I reach out to every once in a while. He's a motivational speaker. His name is Les Brown. And Les, when he was in, I think he was in middle school when this happened, he was told by this teacher that he was passing a note to, because he was a note passer throughout the school for school office and whatnot. The teacher basically told him, I want you to go up to the whiteboard and I want you to write something down. And Les said to him, I can't, sir. And the teacher said, why not? Because I'm not one of your students. That doesn't matter, Mr. Brown. Just go up to that whiteboard and write down what I'm about to tell you. And he said, I can't. This time, when the teacher said, why can't you? He said, because I'm educatively mentally retarded. Now, what this teacher told him changed Les's life forever. You know what he said?
Nope.
Someone's opinion of you does not represent who you actually choose to be or who you are at that moment. If so, I always tell people this, and I hate quoting this guy because I am not a big fan of him. Suge Knight, who is a big record executive of Death Row Records in the 90s during the West Coast, East Coast era of rap, basically said, look, plain cut and simple, you guys, the best revenge you can ever get on someone is being successful.
Yeah.
You got to learn that success does not come within the hour. It doesn't come over a year. It can take a whole lifetime And even at that point, on your deathbed, you may not ever be successful at what you wanted to be, but it's not a matter of did you accomplish it or did you fail at it? It's a matter of did you take those first steps towards that goal?
And for those people that are going to listen to this, that's what we're going to be bringing you. We're going to talk about topics like goal setting, like finding things that make you happy, like
right
things like that. That's what we want to talk about, because people deserve to be happy. And quite frankly, I've said it in the very beginning and I'll say it again, I'm just tired of the negativity that I see throughout the world, because the world could be a great place, but people with negative attitudes turn it into a not so great place sometimes. So,
right. You know, I think the best way to put it, Jeremy, is this. You know, life is like a big, long, everlasting marathon. You know, we run sometimes a mile a day, sometimes we run 10 miles a day. Whether we finish in first place or last does not matter. What matters the most is you are taking one foot and putting it in front of the other towards what you, as that individual, want in life. If you want something, go and get it. Be hungry. Don't act like it's going to come to you, even though some things do. Don't anticipate or assume because 5 or 6 things came in your life, such as a loving mom or a dad, doesn't mean they're always going to be there to hold your hand.
Well, no. And I mean, that's why, you know, and it's funny you bring that up, because that's something I want to talk about in a later episode. But I do think it's so important to stay humble. And I think if people are able to stay humble, it's going to create more positivity in their lives, because then you stay grounded. Then you keep the world in front of you rather than looking at such a huge picture that it overwhelms you.
Right. Sometimes, I mean, look at it like video games. You know, we all sometimes play the oldest of video games. The oldest video game I ever played was Super Mario Brothers. That was 16-bit. Now look at the Xbox Ones or the PS4s or the PS5s that are coming out. But if you look at it in the screen, sure, it looks crystal clear. Hindsight 2020, it's not so clear because it's all pixels. Now, if you take away, say, 50% of those pixels, you have an incomplete game.
Yep.
But what's most important is to know that sometimes the biggest picture that one can truly see and one that can truly live in that moment with is not a matter of looking at it in 4K high definition. Sometimes you got to downgrade yourself to a level that you, as the individual on this planet, see fit for you and only you. Because until you step foot in one person's shoes, you don't know. And you'll never know. Just because someone says it, that, oh, I've lost my mom, I've lost my dad, and you say, I'm here for you, are you really there for them?
Well,
or are you saying that to alleviate the situation just to make them feel good for that only one moment in time?
Exactly. I mean, it's very easy for people to say, I'm here for you, but they do it because they feel like that's what they have to do.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I get asked a lot of questions in my lifetime. I mean, sometimes it's financial questions, such as, can you loan me $20? I go out of my way to do it when I can. There are times, honestly, where I know I really, truly can't. But I always tell people, if you give me till Friday and it's a Thursday, I'll be glad to help you. And when that day comes, I will give them 3 times the amount that they're actually asking for. Right. Why? Because of the fact that it's not that I'm assuming that they're going to spend it all in one sitting. It's not an assumption that I know that they're going to need it later. It's just a matter of showing that you authentically, genuinely care, sincerely, not so much from a standpoint of, I don't care what you do with the money, you just do it. It just comes from deep within to show compassion, love, and everything in between. And love, honestly, is a meaningless word until someone steps up to that plate and whether it's a high five of showing commendability, of saying, hey, man, you did a great job today, or hey, good effort, man, good effort, or anything. I mean, you know this as well as I do, as you are a soccer coach. I'm sure many of times, Jeremy, you've seen your players high five the other team and say, hey, good game, good game, good game.
We do it after every single game.
And you know what? Even if you lose 37-0, guess what? You still commend the other players, because just because you guys swamped them and you slaughtered them in the game, that doesn't mean that next year they won't come back to haunt you with their winnings of you guys having zero and they have 45 points. The matter of the game is have fun, be safe,
and be respectful.
Honestly, be respectful. Sportsmanlike conduct. I'm not even a coach. I mean, look, if there's anything to be taught, I think another great topic for this is integrity. Where do you get it? How do you show it? Well, and most of all, how do you accept yourself? Because it's self-acceptance doesn't come naturally.
Oh, no.
Some people look at fashion and say, oh, that girl looks so cute in that dress. I wish I looked like that. I'll do anything for it. How about this? Dwayne Johnson said it best to me when I first met him. I met him 5 years ago. All right. I met him at a meet and greet for pro wrestling. And I said to him, I'm really concerned because I don't think I'm ever going to be good enough to do pro wrestling. You know what he said to me? He basically said, don't worry about what other people think you should be or what you could be. Sometimes you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, you know what? I just feel like being the first me today. Be the first you. Don't copy somebody. You know, it's okay to say, I want to copy David Beckham's football style. That's fine. But don't overdo it. Just be you. That is the most crucial thing about being a human being, is finding what you like and what you dislike, because none of us, and I do sincerely mean none of us, will ever find another person on our level of equalness, that we all believe in the same food. We all believe in the same way we toast our butter, whether it's left to right or right to left. That doesn't matter.
No, I agree with that. We're all individuals at the end of the day. That's all it is. We're individuals. And that's why it was so important for me to make this positivity podcast, is because I truly believe that sometimes people lose sight of who they are. And that makes me sad, because when you lose sight of who you are, you're losing sight of your own identity. And
it bleeds out to others. Really bleeds out to others, because, you know, it look at it like this. Not only can you not reflect yourself in the mirror and say, look at what you've been through, but understanding others and what they've been through, you have to understand what you've gone through first. I cannot say to you tonight, I know what it's like to be you, because I don't. But you know what? At the same time, unless I look at myself in the mirror and say, me and Jeremy have been through similar things, like we're both former drug addicts, that's similar. Now, whether our drug of choice was all the same or a little bit different or drastically different, what matters most is not so much what did we use, what was our vice, how long we used it. What matters is nowadays, if one of us is about to fall off, we have to one up on one another and say, hey, it's okay. I'm here. I'm not here to preach to you. You need to change your, this is how you go about doing it. I am here today to preach you. If you want to succeed, I'll give you the tools you'll need. And not only that, but there are some people who put it in the most honest of ways. You know, Tupac Shakur's mom said to him, they will give you the tools you need, not to rebuild yourself, but to destroy yourself.
Yep.
You know, people, I think, sometimes forget that. I'm not going to sit here and say mother's no best or father's no best, but I will sit here and say the best advice you can give someone is not a lengthy, lengthy paragraph, not even a lengthy speech, not even a very short speech, but it's that of free advice. Advice is one of a few things in this life that we really, truly don't think we ever actually need until we need it at that moment. I will tell you what, anytime I wake up and I feel a certain burst of energy and I feel like sharing it, you know as well as I do, I go on my Facebook and I say stuff like, hey, hey, good morning world, just wanted to let you know and remind you, you're all awesome.
Oh, I see it all the time.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to reach out to me on my Facebook, I don't care if you're in India, Pakistan, Europe, anywhere and everywhere. Add my Facebook at Joshua at Scott. That is spelled S-C-O-T-T. Because I'm not here to teach you a lifelong lesson that you'll learn throughout your life. I'm just here to boost you up for that moment. And if you need a little bit more help, I'll be glad to stay up for 24 hours. You know, I would rather care for people than I would be selfish and only care about myself.
And you know what was the first thing I said to you on Messenger? I said, I'm thinking about doing a podcast and I think you would be the perfect guy to do it with. And that's exactly why. Because both you and I want to see people be happy. And
right. You know, and I gotta tell you, dude, I honestly, I feel very honored. I hate saying this word because, like I said earlier, I'm not religious, but I feel truly blessed that you asked me to do this because, you know, I just can't even put it into words. Words would never do it justice of how thankful I am that you've invited me and you've allowed me to speak how I feel about this. You have no idea, brother. You have no idea.
Well,
and
I mean, you know what? Honestly, you know this. You're probably one of my best friends. So
yeah, definitely, dude. Definitely. And I'm sorry that we don't stay in contact that much. But when we do, dude, we always talk about something. Maybe it's like I'm going through this and I need help. Yeah. But what do we always say to one another? Call me if you want to talk.
Yep.
I'm only a phone call away.
So when's the next time you're available so we can do the next episode?
Tomorrow I have a work meeting from, I think, 8 to 9:30, and then I have to go to a store. So sometime early to late afternoon, I'll be available.
How about we do it? Because I have soccer practice tomorrow, and I could do it.
I mean, I don't even care if it's late at night, dude. It doesn't bother me, just as long as you text me ahead of time.
Yeah, so why don't we do it? Can we do it late tomorrow night?
Yeah, that's fine. Just send me a text.
All right, sounds good. Well, thank you for doing the inaugural episode with me. I appreciate it.
Hey, man, it's definitely an honor, bro. It is definitely, definitely an honor. I mean, you know I go all out on these things, and I'm sorry that we passed the 30-minute mark like you wanted, but you know what? It's all good because
you know what? It was fun, man. It was a lot of fun. I had fun. And I'll tell you, I'm excited to do this because I want to make a difference in people's lives, and I want to spread happiness to people. And I think that we're two people that could really do that very well. So it's been very fun, and I'm so excited to do it again.
Yeah, me too, bro. Me too.
All right, buddy. Well, I'll see you tomorrow night.
Yep, definitely.
Take it easy, bro.
You too, man. Sleep tight.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Night-night.